Hi and welcome back. Today I have with me Marianne Faruja. She is the co-founder and managing director of Offshore Business Processing, or OBP. They are a BPO that works across a wide range of industries, including freight forwarding, logistics, accounting, legal, and IT. They aren't a standard seat leasing BPO. They tend to go more towards the value-added services and working alongside their clients to offer partnership solutions. So I spoke to Marianne about how her business has grown and the kind of services that they offer and how that can help clients on their outsourcing journey. We're also in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, so of course I started by asking Marianne how she and her business is coping with all this. I had a good conversation. I'm sure you will enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Marianne, I just want to start by asking you for an update on the coronavirus from your perspective, and of course, the perspective of OBP. How are you coping with the coronavirus and its impact on your business?
I think we're one of the lucky few BPOs actually that reacted really quickly and had a really solid BCP to be able to get all of our staff working from home in a very short amount of time. So I would say the future's pretty bright for us in the long term, but just, we need to get through the next couple of months and see what happens. We're finding some of our clients are obviously struggling a little bit globally, and we're just working with them. It's from a BPO perspective, I don't think it's a time to be going out and selling what we offer. I think that in the long term will come. I think right now what we're focused on is just making sure working with our clients, continuing to build our relationships with them, and just show what we're all about, and that's supporting our customers when things are good and when things are bad. So I think our clients have seen probably some of the best of us, I think, over the last couple of weeks in the way that we were able to get all of our staff up and running for all of our clients. So they're very, very happy with that. It's now them just supporting them through this really tough time and doing whatever we can, whether that's, dropping a couple of their agents while they work through this, giving them some ideas on how they can do things a little bit differently. So that's what we're focused on as a business right now, is just supporting our clients through this time.
It's been a really turgid time, and of course for everyone globally, really, hasn't it? From a perspective of the outsourcing industry, it's quite a technologically enabled industry. It's very sort of remote enabled because they're effectively servicing clients across the globe. But still, the majority of the industry works from A-grade offices such as your own, and then there's just been a huge transition for all of those people to get out into their own homes, go remote, and of course all of the clients are doing that as well. So I think the industry, we see such a mixed picture because you're dealing with of course your own domestic situation, but then the outsourcing industry is reliant on the economies, businesses, and sectors of literally it touches every sector, and they're affected differently. It's good. So basically all of your staff are working from home. They've done a transition, and then effectively they're supporting the clients in whatever capacity they can. Is that generally
Yeah.
the business continuity plan?
Correct. We're very fortunate in a way that most of our staff are working on back office type tasks, so we're not on the phones as much. So for us to be able to get them working from home wasn't as difficult as it would be for some BPOs. But having said that, as you well know, living in the Philippines, not everybody has a computer at home. Not every, most people don't have internet. So they were some of the challenges that we experienced in getting our staff working from home. But fortunately, we have an amazing management team over there that were able to get all everybody up and running pretty quickly. And as you know, the government didn't give us much time to do that either. But as I said, we were really, 2, 3 months ago, we never ever had a plan for our staff to work from home. That was never part of our business model. And to be able to pretty much flick the switch and get everybody working from home and doing it successfully was a challenge, but something I'm really proud of, being part of that team that was able to execute that for our clients. So, yeah, it's just a really weird time in business, not just for us, but for everybody. And we just need to weather the storm because my business partner and I really see for those that can get through this, there's a real opportunity on the other side of this, both through, you know, maybe some acquisitions for BPOs that weren't prepared, but also I think, as you talked about in your interview this morning that I watched online, is, you know, a lot of companies are going to have to transform and re-engineer the way they do business. So I think BPO is going to be something that maybe companies haven't wanted to do it in the past, but I think it's something they're definitely going to have to look at in the future. So we're pretty excited actually about the future once we get through this phase. But for now, it's just about supporting our clients, and then we can worry about, you know, all those other things once we get through this.
It's definitely a mixed picture, isn't it, for the outsourcing industry? As you know, I'm very confident that it is a counter-cyclical industry, and you know, as the world goes into this recession, people are going to be looking for, you know, great value, and obviously human resources is a major aspect of anyone's P&L. So the outsourcing industry is in a good position to offer very much a win-win solution for the Philippines, but also then the clients. So it is exciting times. And, you know, you mentioned right at the start about your BCP, which is business continuity planning. It's funny that the outsourcing industry generally is very focused on having BCPs and basically being the backup of the world industry. But I think everyone was just blindsided by the nature of this disaster. You know, Philippines is generally very prepared for volcanoes or tsunamis or, you know, a lot of different disasters. But it's blindsided the Philippines and the world. So, you know, I congratulate you on being so nimble. And as you say, I think that there will be winners and losers from this. And definitely there's going to be a changing of the guards and a reshuffling of the cards. So Marianne, you run OBP, which is it's a generalized BPO, but you do have some very specialized niches and value adds within your structure. Can you explain, you know, what offshore business processing really focuses on in your business?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Derek. So what we focus on is there's probably four key verticals that we focus on as a business. And the first one would probably be the freight forwarding logistics kind of industry. So anybody that moves goods both domestically or internationally, whether that be a freight forwarding company, shipping lines, transport companies, anybody like that, we've got a pretty strong hold on that industry. We're also quite strong in the IT space, so we do a lot of help desk chat support for our customers as well. We do a lot in the accounting space because, as we all know, there's a lot of accounting staff in the Philippines, so a lot of the companies around the world are offshoring that. And then we do a little bit in the legal space as well. So, yeah, they're kind of the verticals that we focus on. But having said that, we really want to get into the call center or the contact center space. Earlier this year, we also released a new product, which we call the Enterprise Hub, and that's targeting more high-end type roles like account managers, business development managers, project managers, companies that are looking maybe to break into the Asian market but don't want to go over and set up an office. We've got some customers that we're managing that internally for them. So hiring managers, but just managing them from our office, that they're able to travel internationally. They work on behalf of the client, but we manage them on a day-to-day kind of process. So, yeah, that's worked really well for our clients as well. So they're kind of the main products that we sell to our clients currently.
And for, you know, people that aren't so familiar with outsourcing or exploring it for their business, there's a lot of different models, pricing models, business models within outsourcing. In its simplest form, it can effectively be staff leasing. And its more complex form, it's almost as involved as management consulting. You seem to be right up there in terms of the value ladder. And, you know, kind of, it's not just a bum on a seat, but it's a deliverable in a process. Can you explain the, you know, how you delineate between what is your role, where you will help, and then what is the role of the client, and how the staff or employees fit amongst that?
Sure. So at OBP, we kind of have three pillars that we kind of focus on in delivering to our clients, and that's efficiency, automation, and offshoring. So we have firstly a consulting team that if our clients want to use that service, who are Six Sigma and Lean, and we can look at what they're currently wanting to offshore, because if you take a broken process and move it to an offshore environment, it's still a broken process. So if they want to, you know, re-engineer that process and get it as efficient as possible before they even, you know, start offshore, and we can help with that. Then we look at the technology that they're using and look at if there's any automation there as well. And then obviously the last piece is the offshoring. So we offer a fully managed service to our clients. So that's everything from, you know, finding the candidates, training them. We have a pretty large training team and training facility where we train our staff. Typically the minimum amount of time for training is 4 weeks. And then obviously once they're live, we manage them on a day-to-day basis and we report back to our clients. So we become really a true partner with our clients. We all, you know, we become really part of their business. But having said that, we're very transparent as a BPO as well. So we work very closely with our clients. We encourage relationships between the staff in our office in Manila and the staff back in Australia, New Zealand, or the US, wherever our client is. And we just charge a flat monthly fee per month, you know, so which is kind of different to how most BPOs work in the Philippines. So we just charge our clients a flat monthly fee starting at about $1,450 US a month, depending on the role. And that really helps our clients. So there's no, you know, because as we all know, there's a lot of public holidays in the Philippines, for example, there's about 20. And so instead of having billing that could, you know, be high 1 month and low the next month, our clients just like that they have a flat monthly fee per month and we take care of everything. So everything's included in our flat monthly fee because a lot of the companies, you know, a lot of our customers don't know about the 13th month pay or the medical and all the other things we need to pay for our staff in the Philippines. So they don't have to worry about any of that. We manage all of that for them. And, you know, a lot of our clients prefer that flat monthly billing. And then, you know, we have some good months, then we have some not so great months because of depending on, like this month, you know, we've got a couple of holidays for Easter. But look, it really works well for us and it works really well for our clients. So, that's what we're always looking for at OBP as well, is a, you know, a win-win-win. So a win for our company, a win for our clients, and then a win for our staff as well. So and so far we've been going for about 7 years. It's worked really well, you know, for our clients. So,
and what is the typical client persona that you're working with? How, you know, on that pricing model and with you getting involved in the operations and refining the processes, do you have clients that are building out teams there? And then within those teams, do they have the kind of standard hierarchy? You know, what is the typical dynamic?
Typically, the client leaves everything to us. At first, they're, you know, when we first go live, they're obviously a lot more engaged and involved. But we have a structure where we have team managers who manage our team leaders, and then the team leaders manage usually about 15 agents. But they really just work, leave us to manage everything, and then the TLs will usually have a call with our clients maybe every week, and sometimes the agents as well, just to make sure everything's on track. We send them weekly reports. We send them monthly capacity reports as well, letting them know the utilization of their staff. Our clients really see their TLs as really managers working on their behalf in our office. But we really encourage our clients to come over, you know, if they can, every 3 months, every 6 months, and keep, you know, progressing the staff, because, you know, once they get to know their job, you can keep squeezing a little bit more productivity out of them because they just keep getting faster and faster. So we love when clients come over. We have clients over in our office pretty much every week, and I think that relationship, and also having said that, some of our clients also send their agents back to their office, whether it be in the US, Australia, New Zealand, because it's one thing to learn an SOP in Manila, but it's another thing when you're in the office seeing how things happen, then you really understand why what you do is so important, not just for your team, but the whole company. And then those people come back and really sell this whole concept to the rest of the guys in their team as well. So we're all about collaboration and transparency and really becoming part of our clients' business.
Yeah, you really can't overstate the value of meeting face to face, can you? You know, and we obviously, us as an industry, we're promoting remote work, but you know, still, it's a balance there. You know, and I generally recommend that people work from offices. I recommend that the clients have an office in their hometown, and then they have an office in the Philippines. Generally, I'm a proponent of people working together to create that culture and to get the clients over here to meet the staff, to see how they live and work and interact is super valuable, isn't it? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Well, we kind of have a couple of things that we insist our clients do if they want to work with OBP. And obviously one is to have really good SOPs. So unless you have an SOP, we won't work with you because we know it won't work. And then secondly, they have to commit to coming over and spending at least the first week or two with the agents once they go live. Because it's true, you know, like most Australians would have no idea what life for a Filipino would be like. So coming over and meeting them and understanding that they're people just like us, they have families, they're working, you know, support their families like we do in the Western world, I think is really important to build that relationship. Because as we all know, it's human nature. If we don't know a person, it's pretty easy to get frustrated with someone that you don't know. So we really encourage that whole relationship side of things at OBP.
That's incredible. So you get people over at the beginning of the relationship, like right at the start, you encourage people to come over?
Yeah, and then we have quite a few customers that actually come over maybe every 3 to 6 months as well. So they've really built really amazing relationships. We've got a client that's been with us for 7 years, and every 3 months somebody from their company comes over and spends time with that team. That customer started off with about 4 people with us, and they're about 30 staff with us now. And it's been a really great relationship. We've really seen the customer grow as well. So I think this particular customer had about 80 staff when they started with us. I think they're sitting at about 140 staff now in Australia, and they've got 30 with us. So offshoring has really helped them grow because they could spend more money on sales and marketing to really grow their business and offer more jobs to people locally as well as in the Philippines. So, and even the managing director of that company comes over every 2 years and takes his whole team out for lunch and does a bit of a presentation on what's been happening in the company. So they're really, really, you know, connected, and they really treat their staff in the Philippines like they are part of the team back in Australia as well.
I think that sums up outsourcing well, doesn't it, really? It's, you know, it's not about replacing jobs, and it's not about having a team of, you know, kind of almost robots doing highly repetitive tasks anymore. Outsourcing is about building a team that complements your home team. It Correct. Enables your business to focus on its core skills, and, you know, you're then building a more profitable, more efficient business so that it ultimately creates more growth, more employment everywhere, and you're building a team of people that are just a part of your organization, and that's when you really get the powerful effects of outsourcing. I think, you know, you get a lot of sort of antiquated people that come over here and kind of assume that the outsourcing is someone else's issue, or, you know, it's just a sort of auxiliary function, and you never get the results that you're after when you're treating it as a separate entity.
Correct. So you know, when you come over and you meet the Filipino people and you see how what their work ethic is like, which is probably better than most Western countries, to be honest, you know, they're really smart people. You know, everybody at OBP has been to, you know, has at least 2 years of university or college. Most of them have a degree. Some have a double degree. But a BPO job in the Philippines is a really good job, unlike in Western countries. You know, doing data entry is a kind of a lower kind of job, whereas BPO kind of puts you into the middle class in the Philippines. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of an eye-opener for a lot of our customers when they come over. I think they appreciate how long it takes the staff to get to work, how they get to work, and just the conditions that they live in and how happy they are coming to work every day. Because, you know, in places like Australia, we're very, very lucky. There's always food in the fridge and food in the cupboards. But, you know, for a lot of Filipinos, they're just living day to day. And so they need to have that great work ethic just to, you know, put food on the table. Because if you don't work there, you don't eat. So, you know, that's a pretty good reason to come to work every day. And I think that's where a lot of that work ethic comes from in the Philippines, to be honest.
And with the coronavirus now, have you seen the nature of outsourcing change? You know, do you sort of see that people react in terms of wanting to cut staff, or they see that there's a good opportunity to save money with outsourcing, so they kind of double down? How do you see people evolving their strategic operations with these recent events?
I think I think everybody's just waiting, Derek. I think, you know, maybe in the next maybe month or two, we'll start to see things start to happen. But I think in the short term, everybody's just waiting to see what happens. And I guess we're doing that as a business as well. We just want to see. I honestly think the impact of this is not going to be seen for probably another 6 months, to be honest. I think a lot of governments are out there giving loans and helping, but I think where a lot of people are failing to see what's going to happen is what happens when you need to start paying your tax back, or when you start need to pay your loan back. You know, I think this is a short-term solution. I think a lot of companies aren't thinking about things long-term. I think we're going to see the real impact of this in the next 6 to 12 months. I have no doubt that offshoring is going to definitely benefit from all this, but, you know, we just need to wait and let everything play out and just be there to support our clients when that all happens. So, yeah, it's a really interesting time. I think everybody's just struggling being at home. You know, we're all being isolated. It's hard not being connected. I know, like, when I was in the Philippines, when I was in the office in the Philippines, I really get motivated by being around my staff. And now working from home, you know, it's a real challenge to stay motivated every day and just even to get out of bed every day. And, you know, I watch a bit of CNN and I watch the news, and it's all pretty depressing. So it's, you know, I think everybody's in the same boat. I think we're all just waiting to see what comes out of this. But, you know, I don't think anybody's making any predictions, because no one saw this coming, as you said earlier. So I think we just need to ride out the storm for the next month or two and see what happens. But I think this is going to have an impact on the world economy for the next couple of years easily. And I think BPOs that survive this are in a fantastic position moving forward. Because there's a lot of companies in the world that never wanted to offshore. They're very low, you know, loyal to their staff, which they should be, and loyal to their countries. But I think in order to, maybe you're a company of 20 and maybe you need to, you know, reduce down to 15 and maybe offshore 5 of those roles, that keeps 15 people in a job versus nobody in a job. And, you know, then there's the potential to grow from there and maybe turn it into a 30 people company. So, you know, we're not one of these BPOs that's about going in and getting companies to you know, get rid of their staff? Where about if somebody leaves, or if there's natural attrition, or if somebody's going on maternity leave, you know, there's an, or, you know, your staff are overworked. That company I spoke about earlier that started with four, that was all about their staff were working back till 10 o'clock every night. So the directors decided to put on those four staff to assist the staff that they had in Australia. So that's what we're about. We're about working with our clients and helping them grow. And at the end of the day, we're all about also, you know, having a positive effect on their P&L at the end of the day, because if there's, you know, no money there, no one's going to have a job at the end of the day. So, yeah, look, it's really interesting times. We just need to get through this next couple of months, I think. We're in a fantastic position at OBP, thank goodness, but I would assume there's a few BPOs out there that might be struggling a little bit. I know that a lot of people, and the other challenge, you know, that we've had in the past was talent acquisition in our industry. And I think a lot of people now have, you know, in the Philippines have lost their jobs. And I see that also as an opportunity moving forward for BPOs, is it's going to be a lot easier to find staff once we get through this as well. So I just try and stay realistic about what's happening, but also try and stay positive about the future.
When we are in a recession, you know, people will need to maintain all of their cash as much as they can. And it's difficult when you have to, you know, rebuild your business when you're limited in income, you're limited in resources. So generally building an offshore team, and especially if you come to a BPO where they have a lot of executive leadership experience and talent, then it can also help augment that company and help it rebuild itself. And I think it's really going to shine a light on the outsourcing industry as people start to reemerge from this battle now, coronavirus.
Yeah, and I also think this whole work from home thing that's happened globally, you know, we're all now so used to working remotely that BPO maybe isn't as scary maybe as it used to be, because we've kind of all done this. So it doesn't, you know, I'm in Melbourne, my business partner's in Melbourne, but we're physically not together. So why does it matter if, you know, I'm here and he's maybe 10 kilometres away from me, where if somebody's 10,000 kilometres away, but we're still working in the same time, we're still working the same days, distance doesn't really matter anymore. We're so used to this whole remote working now anyway. I think that's another opportunity. I think it's going to make people less scared to, you know, do this whole remote or offshoring type of work that we're doing for them as well. So, yeah, the world's changed. It's going to be really, you know, different world that we come back to. I think a lot more people will be working remotely now once we get through this as well. I personally love working in the office myself. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things that through this, I'm trying to focus on the positives again, is I think there's a lot of upside for BPOs once we get through this time.
There's going to be an interesting cultural shift, isn't there, throughout this coronavirus with this remote work, working from home. You know, there's almost been a little bit of a tussle in terms of the cultural acceptability of remote and work from home, and, you know, whether it really is ideal. It will be interesting once all this sort of washes through. Now, you know, people now have the tools, they have the technology, and they now have a little bit of experience in working from home if they need it. And it will be interesting to see how many businesses return back to an office. And, you know, there must be some people that realize the value in having people in an office, having that culture, versus, of course, saving the money. And then, of course, as you say, it then opens up and enables you to recruit people globally. So it'll be fascinating to watch as people reassess what it means to come into the office, to go to work, and to build an organization. Just fascinating, isn't it? But, you know, one observation I find amazing is, like, if this thing happened 20 years ago when we didn't really have the connectivity that we did now, I don't know how the world would have shut down. It would have literally just needed to shut down for a month, wouldn't it?
It would have. So, you know, look, it's never a good time for these things to happen, but, you know, thank goodness we have the internet and most people have PCs and all those things. But for me, there's nothing better than working from the office and working with my team. I really miss the culture and, you know, a lot of our staff. So we've created a couple of communities online for us all to stay connected to our staff as well. So we have this, like, OBP chat room on Facebook where we all just stay connected with each other. And what a lot of the staff are saying to me is that they really, really miss coming into the office. And that's one thing I never would have thought I would have heard from them, because as you know, a lot of people are traveling, you know, 1 to 3 hours each way. But I think they really miss that social interaction and that whole family environment that you find in a lot of BPOs. So we're all keen to get back. OVP will always be a work from office type environment. We just can't wait for this all to end so that we're all back together. The other problem that we're now, like I was reading in the news here in Australia, is they're saying that there might not be any travel, international travel, until the end of the year. So that's going to also be a testing time for even, like, as I said earlier, we want our customers to come over and do that whole relationship building with our staff. And obviously I want to get back as well and spend time with the team. So it's really hard to plan anything because, you know, different governments are talking about different things. And I guess I think more will come to light, I think, in the next couple of months. So yeah, we just have to get through this somehow and just keep supporting our customers and doing whatever we can to get them through this. And, you know, if we all work together, we're all going to be better off at the end of this together as well. So that's what we're really focused on right now.
It'll be interesting to see what behaviours do change forever and then what will be maintained. I remember back in 2001 there when September 11th happened and they were saying, like, people won't travel anymore to meetings, people will go the secure options, people are going to start conferencing, you know, and of course, like, after people normalise again, then everything goes back to normal. And I think that luckily things will rebound to normal once this coronavirus has gone. But, you know, I really do think that people, once the door's been open to remote work and to a globalized workforce, then it'll be hard for them to turn their backs on that. Marianne, I want to thank you very much for joining us. If anyone wants to carry on a conversation with you or learn more about OBP, how can they get in touch?
They can email me at marianne@offshorebusinessprocessing.com, or they can visit our website at www.offshorebusinessprocessing.com.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Derek. Really appreciate it.
That was Marianne Farrugia of Offshore Business Processing. If you want any of the links or anything we mentioned in this episode, go to the show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.